Please turn to Psalm 119. Before we confess our sins, we will look at a verse from this psalm. Psalm 119, verse 165. Verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Amen. So as we've gone through Psalm 119, we've been meditating upon the Word of God and our relationship with the Word. As we have this relationship with the Word of God, so we, through that, have a relationship with God. We commune with God through His Word. The Word of God is to be our delight, our constant meditation, our daily food, our daily drink. And in this verse, we learn that in the keeping of God's commandments, in loving the law of God, we experience peace and a stability. It says nothing causes them to stumble. So I want to contrast the way of sin and what it brings with the way of obedience and what it brings. And to do that, let's look at two different passages in addition to this verse. The first one is Isaiah 32, verses 17 through 18. Isaiah 32, 17 through 18. And this passage describes the work of God bringing about a harvest of righteousness, and that harvest of righteousness leading to peace. It says in verse 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? This is the fruit of righteousness. And this passage is describing the visitation of God's Spirit upon the people to restore them, to strengthen them, to bring about a work of righteousness. And a result of that, it says, is quietness, assurance, peace, beautiful, calm dwellings. That is the result of righteousness. Now we can contrast that with the results of sin. Psalm 16, verse 4, gives us an example of this. Psalm 16, verse 4. It says, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." So on one hand, the life of righteousness wrought by the Spirit of God is a life of quietness, peace, assurance. Whereas the life of sin, chasing after other idols, after other gods, leads to the multiplication of sorrow. That is the result. Sin promises peace, but it's a lie. It's a mirage. It's like you're walking through the desert and you're desperately needing water and you see this mirage of an oasis, and as you come to it, it disappears. It's gone completely. And that's what sin is. It's a mirage, it's a lie, it's a deception. It only multiplies sorrow. It does not bring true peace. Now, you'll probably notice that the world around us finds peace to be an important value. Certainly, the nations try to keep some level of peace. That's why we have the United Nations. They're trying to encourage a peace between the nations. Of course, their success level in that is very low. And on the personal level, people are looking for personal peace, what Francis Schaeffer used to call personal peace and affluence. In other words, the peace that comes from having what I want, when I want, and nobody bothering me about what I want. That's the personal peace and affluence people are looking for. People think that possessions will give them peace, maybe a large enough bank account, a good enough health insurance plan, enough securities, so that when things get tough, I will be okay, and therefore I can be at peace. But as we learn from the book of Ecclesiastes and elsewhere in the rest of Scripture, that pursuit is vain. It is vanity to pursue peace in the things of this world and the idols of this world. They do not grant peace. Now, as Christians, we live under the reign of the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the biggest concern that any one of you should have is whether you have peace with God, not whether you have your personal peace and affluence. And that peace has been bought by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. He has bought the peace that we need. Peace with him. And we also learn then, as we connect that truth to this psalm, that we enjoy this life of peace and walking in humble obedience with God. And this is a peace that is very different from what the world offers, but it's a peace that is real. As we walk in obedience to God, he gives us a peace and a joy that comes when we walk in this law of liberty, this path that he has given us. As we say in the words of the hymn, trust and obey, it brings these things, two things together very well. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And what the hymn is saying is that the life of happiness is faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to God. It's a simple life. Peace is attainable if you will but live by faith in the Son of God and walk in obedience to God's commandments. Great peace, it says. Great peace have those who love your law. And then it describes the stability, the strength that comes in this loving the law. In the same verse, it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So with great peace comes great strength. Great strength for temptation, great strength for trials. Either one. You are given a stability when you love the law of God and walk in obedience to God. Temptations will come and the lure of sin will be presented right before you, but you will be so content in obeying God that you will not care about that temptation. You will turn away from it. And when those trials come that will disturb your peace, cause you to doubt, make you to question, yet you can go back and say, no, the law of God says this. The word of God says this. I believe this. I hold on to this. And it gives you a stability. And sometimes there are difficulties that Christians undergo, and people from the outside look in and they say, how can they be at peace with that going on in their lives? How is it possible that they have such a joy about them, such a peace? How is this demeanor even possible in light of these difficulties? And then we answer what the psalmist said, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. So I trust that all of us desire more peace in our lives. None of us like to live in anxiety. None of us like to live in discontentment and always being unsatisfied by the things that we run after. My friends, this verse tells us how we can have peace, how we can enjoy a life of peace in simple faith in Jesus Christ and in humble obedience to the Word of God. So may we learn to trust and obey. May we experience the peace that comes when we stop running after other gods and keep multiplying our sorrows and enjoy that simple life of faith and obedience. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this verse from Psalm 119. What your word says to us here is crystal clear. If we will have peace, if we will but love your word, if we will walk with you in faith, we desire this joy, this satisfaction, this peace, this contentment that comes. We pray that this quietness, this assurance in the work of righteousness would be evident in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that you'd help us not to run after the lies of the world. And as we see people multiplying their sorrows, may we turn in the other direction and find peace in what you have promised. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us for forsaking your commandments, for breaking your commandments. We are sinners in need of your grace, and we are so thankful for the death and resurrection of our Lord that promises us this forgiveness. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.